Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife Annette and I. Today we are discussing visions and dreams.
Okay, let's look at our visions and dreams for today. And what is their purpose? Also, how do we recognize if they are authentic?
That's right. Now, there are some Christian theologians who teach that dreams and visions are not for today, since we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. They believe visions and dreams were only given in the Old Testament and also during the Apostles' time, and also will be given during the tribulation period and the 1,000-year period, which is coming in the future. However, are there scriptures to support that view? I don't know of any.
Good point, Bill. I haven't heard any credible Bible teacher state that dreams and visions replace God's Word and the Holy Spirit as guidance. Dreams and visions are for us today, as so many could testify, and we will examine some of the scriptures ahead. However, we are not to solely trust in them, but only in the written Word of God. We are also to test and examine any dream or vision. It must agree with the scripture or not conflict with scripture and bear witness to us before we consider it from God.
That's right. However, we should be aware that dreams and visions can be deceptive, as these next verses warn. Jeremiah 14:14 mentions you can have a false vision. Jeremiah 23:32 says you can have a false dream. Zechariah 10:2 says the same thing. Then Ezekiel 12:24 says you can have a vain vision. And one more, Jeremiah 23:16 says you can have a vision of your own heart.
Yes, those are good scriptures. I like that last one in Jeremiah, because a dream or vision can be from your soul if you highly desire something, if it's induced from drugs, and if you have been around ungodly people. You could be vexed, or what I actually call slimed, from people. And it comes out in a dream. I've had that happen to me.
Yes, that's right. I've heard other people also that have had that. However, the Bible does state that we will have dreams and visions. Acts 2:17 states, "In the last days, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And this is also stated in Joel 2:28. And we are in the last days.
Oh, absolutely. Those who don't believe that they are for today claim that dreams and visions were only for the beginning of the last days, which were the times of the apostles. Yet the verse clearly states the last days, and we are in those last days.
That's right.
So where are the scriptures which state they are only for the beginning of the last days?
That's right. But their reason for their belief is that since the Bible is complete, they believe there is no need for any additional revelation. That's true, but dreams and visions are not adding additional revelation to the scripture. If a dream or vision lines up with the scripture or is not in opposition to the scripture, then they can be from God. If they say dreams and visions are no longer needed because the Bible is complete, then why the need during the tribulation and the millennium, which they say they will exist then? Those periods have the scripture also. And why exclude most of the church age, which we are currently in? The New Testament has many dreams and visions, which we will examine.
Exactly. So, Bill, we're just going to talk about what is their purpose.
Right.
And I just want to mention that dreams and visions can encourage us. They provide us with direction and warnings, and they can reveal future events God may want to prepare us for. They can also deter us from an accident or making a wrong decision. They can teach us how to prosper, as we will see. And they can draw attention to a particular verse or a doctrine that has been neglected in the Word of God.
Right.
They can even scare us off the path to hell. And this is not adding to the scripture, nor detracting from it, nor is it changing a doctrine.
Exactly. Here's some biblical examples. God gave Joseph 4 dreams in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. An angel told him to take Mary as his wife. Then later appeared to him in a dream and told him to flee to Egypt. And, quote, the Bible says, "For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So it was a warning. Then the angel told him to return to Israel. Then again, the angel warned Joseph in a dream not to go to Judea, but to go to Galilee. God was giving him clear direction and warnings.
Absolutely. You know, dreams and visions can also reveal future events, as with Ananias in Acts 9:10. He had a vision where he was told what to do and say to Paul and what was going to happen with Paul. So he was told the future.
That's right.
You know, Paul himself was told by God in a vision in Acts 18:9 not to be afraid to go to speak, as no one will hurt him. This is revealing a future event as well.
Again, yes. Then Job 33:14-18 says, "In a dream, in a vision of the night, then he opens the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit." So that this verse states that God gives man instruction and warnings to cause him to change his purpose and to get him off the wrong path in order to keep his soul from going to hell. Now, wouldn't the above scripture in Job also apply to us today?
Yes, exactly. You know, now in the New Testament too, Bill, we have the Holy Spirit who leads us. However, because God is so good and he deeply cares for us, many times he will go a step further if we miss the voice of the Holy Spirit, if we get off track, and he may give us a dream or a vision to warn us, especially when we're praying and seeking him.
That's right. You know, so would God give those in the Old Testament and during the book of Acts, which was the beginning of the church age, dreams and visions, and then cut them off for the majority of the church age? You know, the Bible states that God is no respecter of persons in 2 Chronicles 19:7, Proverbs 24:23, Romans 2:11, Ephesians 6:9, Colossians 3:25, James 2:1 and verse 9, and 1 Peter 1:17. That's a lot of places where God pointed out he's no respecter of persons.
Absolutely. You know, some say they were only for the apostles. You know, here are just a few more of the visions and dreams in the New Testament that were given not to the apostles. Acts 10:3, Cornelius, he saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, you know, here is a Gentile, not a Jew and not an apostle, having a vision and seeing an angel.
That's right.
You know, Matthew 27:19 also, Pilate's wife said to Pilate, "Have nothing to do with that just man," speaking of Jesus, "for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Here we see a Gentile given a dream to help influence another person from making a mistake. This was guidance and instruction to benefit that person.
That's right. That's clear.
And then Joseph in Matthew 1:20-13 and 2:19 was given a dream regarding Mary.
Right. And then we see Mary in Luke 1:26. She had an angel, the angel Gabriel, sent unto her. So that wasn't a dream. He actually appeared to her, but this is a supernatural intervention. Zacharias in Luke 1:11, an angel appeared also to him. And then we see Stephen in Acts 7:55. It says, "Looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." So that was a vision Stephen had, and he was not an apostle.
Yes, that was when they were stoning him.
Right.
You know, these in the Old Testament, too, were given dreams and were not apostles, and they weren't even Jews. Genesis 20:3, it says, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. He was a Gentile." Genesis 41:1, Pharaoh dreamed where he saw 7 fatted calves and 7 lean calves and 7 healthy ears of corn and 7 withered. Joseph was given the interpretation of this symbolic dream that the calves and the corn, healthy and withered, represented 7 prosperous years and 7 famine years coming. Here is a heathen king shown the future and a godly man given the interpretation.
That's good. That's good. And we see Judges 7:13, a Gentile, a Midianite, an enemy of the Israelites, had a dream from God in order to place the fear of the Lord in the hearts of the army that he was with, as they would be defeated in battle. So God gave him a dream so they would understand, hey, we're going to be lost. We're going to lose this battle.
I like that.
You know, that was kind of cool. Daniel 2, 31 through 45, King Nebuchadnezzar had a vision but didn't understand it. Daniel was given the interpretation of all the world empires. So he was shown the future in that dream. You know, and then Genesis 37, Joseph was given a dream in where he saw his family bowing down to him, but it was in symbolism of sheaves and of the sun and the stars. So he was shown the future, and it was a symbolic dream.
Yes, and now there are 34 dreams recorded in the Bible and 35 visions, according to Phil Pringle in his book, Moving in the Spirit, page 85. You know, therefore, they seem to be of significant value throughout the Bible.
Right. I've never counted them, but that sounds about right. Now, there's a lot of them. But anyway, there are different types of dreams and visions also. Now, Abraham had a vision in Genesis 15, 1 through 5, where God brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven." He actually looked at the stars as an example of how many descendants he would have. And in Joshua 5:13, where Jesus appeared unto him, and he was not asleep, but fully awake, seeing the Lord, this was an open vision. Now, some are internal images, such as in Ezekiel 37, where he saw the valley of dry bones. And then Peter had a vision in a trance in Acts 10:10, where he saw a sheet of animals, which represented the Jews and the Gentiles. Paul and John traveled to heaven in their spirit bodies in a vision. Then in Ezekiel chapter 8, he also had a vision where he traveled from Babylon to Jerusalem, and he was shown many things, and he was told to even eat a scroll. So he experienced even eating in a vision. And then Isaiah 29:7 says that you can have a vision in a dream. That's
yes.
Interesting.
That is interesting. You know, Pharaoh had a dream in Genesis 41, too, where he saw the seven ears of corn and seven cows, and these were symbolic, representing 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So sometimes dreams are symbolic, and they do need godly interpretation. Ananias, in Acts 9:10, again, he had a vision where he simply heard the words of the Lord and was given instruction of where to go and what to say. And Peter was released from prison in Acts 12:9 by an angel, and he actually saw the angel, but he thought he was in a vision. That's how real a vision can be.
That's right. Then Jacob had a vision where God showed him how he could have speckled and spotted sheep from Laban's solid-colored sheep. God gave Jacob a strategy in order to prosper him. So we see a vision can teach us how to prosper. That's interesting. You know, one of the most respected pastors and evangelists and authors was the late Dr. Lester Sumrall. He had a worldwide ministry that still exists today. And at 18 years of age, God gave him a vision of many people walking down a long, wide highway. And at the end of the road, they were falling off the edge into hell. Now, he heard the terrible screams and cries from the multitude as they fell into the flames. Now, that vision caused him to minister every day of his life until he died. I think it was at 86 years old. And this is recorded in his book, Run with a Vision, page 32. So visions and dreams can really affect your life. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, he said in his book, 1 Minute After You Die, page 25, he said, if Stephen saw our Lord before he died, and if Paul died and was caught up into paradise, it is just possible that other believers might also have such a vision.
Oh, that's a good quote. He's right. A more conservative scholar.
Right.
You know, Kenneth E. Hagin had a vision where he was shown hell, and this was during a church meeting. This is also in his book, I Believe in Visions. And John Bunyan, in his book, Visions of Heaven and Hell, page 36 through 38 and beyond, describe his vision of heaven and hell, and he is considered a reputable man of God who was born in 1628 in England.
That's right.
You know, in addition, President Lincoln had two or three dreams that he was going to be assassinated, and he was told not to attend the Ford Theater that night, and that was in April of 1865. He was reluctant to attend.
Right.
Having those dreams.
He should have listened to the dreams.
Yes.
Anyway, but, you know, of course, we said Paul and John each saw heaven in a vision, as the Bible states in 2 Corinthians 12:3 and Revelation 4:1. Paul had other visions described in Acts 9 and Acts 18. Paul also had a vision in Acts 16:7 through 10, where he saw a man asking him to come to Macedonia. Well, Paul immediately went, and this teaches us that we have to be led as to where we travel to minister. You know, he was led by that. Peter had a vision in Acts 10:10 where he saw the sheep with all manner of four-footed beasts. These represented the salvation of the Gentiles. Again, it was symbolic.
Yes, you know, and so, Bill, how do we recognize then that they are authentic? You know, as we said earlier, a dream or a vision either must be verified by the scriptures or not be in contradiction to the scriptures.
Right.
You know, in addition, if there is symbolism in the dream or the vision, we must pray and seek God as to its interpretation. Like 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 15 says, Luke 2:19, Daniel 8:15 through 16.
Right.
I'll mention that. And we can incorrectly interpret them if we don't pray and search the scriptures. You know, as Psalms 119:99 through 100 state, and Proverbs 25:2. So studying the Bible and obeying God's word will keep us from deception and from wrongly interpreting the dream.
Right. Staying in the word is so important. You know, sometimes there are symbols in the dream that may be found throughout the Bible, such as animals, for instance. Say birds throughout the Bible usually represent evil, you know, except for a dove. A serpent represents deception. A lamb represents Jesus or his people. Goats represent the rebellious. And a pig represents something unclean. This is just one example of an animal as a symbol in a dream. Now, God may also use terms you may be familiar with, such as planting seed or farming techniques if you are a farmer, or fishing terms if you are a fisherman. You know, Jesus told Peter, who was a fisherman, that he would make him a fisher of men. You know, I was given a vision of hell, which I wrote about in my book, 23 Minutes in Hell. And there are many scriptures I found to verify the types of visions and that hell is eternal, its location, that there's real literal fire in hell, there's pits of fire, there's literal pain you're going to feel, there are degrees of punishment, and its hopelessness. These are all things revealed in the scripture, but they were also revealed to me in a vision God gave me.
Yes.
And that really affected my life. As you know, both of us, of course, it changed our life to, you know, just
get in the ministry.
Get in the ministry and win souls. And
yes.
Warn people that there really is a hell, and it's far worse than they can imagine. It's a place they don't want to go to, but it's their choice, their free will. They don't have to go.
Absolutely. And that was an open vision, an out-of-body experience
right.
that the Lord gave you. You know, and as you mentioned, there's all different types.
Right. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know in 2 Corinthians 12:2. Well, the Lord just showed me that I left my body. So you can travel, just like Paul and John traveled to heaven in a vision. Ezekiel traveled in chapter 8 from Babylon to Jerusalem. So anyway, but to say that I'm adding to the scriptures is like saying that, you know, if someone's healed and they share their testimony, that they are adding to the Bible. Well, the Bible already declares God heals, and therefore a testimony of healing agrees with the scripture. Well, in the same way, a vision of hell can be in harmony with the Bible if it's supported by the scripture. You know, Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain, that he may run that readeth it. Well, that is what I have done with the book, 23 Minutes in Hell.
Yes, with the vision God gave you.
Right.
You know, here's a couple of conservative commentaries. Matthew Henry's on page 2086 says, dreams and visions, and in them receive divine revelation to be communicated to the church. So he believed they are possible for today.
Right.
And then Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's commentary, page 1083, in the New Testament, visions and dreams are rather the exception than the rule. They are saying that dreams and visions then are possible.
Right.
They're just more conservative and saying they're the exception than the rule. So I understand that.
Right.
There have also been many non-Christians, though, who have had dreams or visions from God, as we've seen with biblical examples mentioned earlier.
Right. And we've met many people that have legitimate dreams and visions.
Absolutely. I know you had spiritual dreams before and after this 23 Minutes in Hell experience. And I have too had, you know, right. spiritual dreams. And I think for the most part, God will give those to people. It's usually for our own personal edification or personal instruction. It's normally not something to go declare to the whole world,
right?
Typically,
right.
But it's for, he's just such a good God. He's just trying to help us and guide us, warn us, etc., as we've mentioned.
Right. So again, the recap, dreams and visions can encourage us or give us direction, teach us to prosper, steer us off a wrong path, and warn us in order to avoid even death and hell. So again, God is so good that he can give us people dreams and visions. Yet again, we are not to place our trust solely in them, but only in the written word of God.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.